ever dreamed of walking on air.
Hmm.
What if that walk wasn't just, you know, breathtaking, but a real test, physically and mentally?
Okay, I'm intrigued.
Welcome to the deep dive. We sift through stacks of info to pull out the nuggets you need.
Sounds good.
Today we're heading, virtually at least, to the Tibetan Bridge of Solano. It's deep in Umbria, Italy.
Ah, Solano, beautiful area.
Our mission for this deep dive, to really get what makes this bridge special.
Okay.
What it actually takes, what you need to do to experience it, and maybe some surprising details along the way. Make sure you're fully informed.
Right.
Okay, let's unpack this thing.
Indeed. And it's fascinating because this attraction, it really marries this incredible natural beauty with some very, very rigorous safety protocols.
Rigorous is the word.
Yeah. And it connects Solano Village, which is officially one of Italy's most beautiful villages, by the way.
Oh, nice.
To this little hamlet called Monesanto. And you'll find, understanding the operational side, the rules, it's almost as thrilling as the crossing itself.
Okay, let's jump into that wow factor then. This is not just any old bridge.
Far from it.
We're talking, what, 517.5 meters long?
That's right. Over half a kilometer.
And hanging 175 meters above the Vigi River Valley. That's high.
Very high. One of the highest in Europe, actually.
And get this, 123 steps to cross it. But here's where it gets really interesting.
The discontinuous tread.
Exactly. That discontinuous tread. There's a gap, a void between each step.
Makes you pay attention.
And it's built uphill. You're actually gaining 68 meters in elevation as you cross.
Yeah, significant climb. It's not just a stroll across a valley.
So less a walk, more like an aerial ascent, really.
That's a good way to put it. And while, you know, lots of bridges claim records,
wow,
Solano isn't the absolute longest single-span Tibetan bridge. That's the Skybridge 721 in the Czech Republic.
Okay, gotcha.
But Solano is definitely up there. Comparable to Portugal's Arouca 516 in height, definitely in the global top 10 for length. But what's really key here, I think, is that blend of nature, engineering, and this intense physical emotional experience.
Yeah.
They officially call it a high emotional impact attraction.
High emotional impact. I can see why, especially with those gaps.
Right. And that uphill climb. It demands something from you.
Okay, so we've got the scale, the thrill. Now, before anyone rushes to book tickets.
Yes, crucial part.
There are some really important things to note. This thing has significant psychophysical demands, they say.
They do. And that means strict rules for safety.
Let's talk about who cannot go, because the list is detailed.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's not arbitrary. It's all tied back to safety on an attraction like this.
All right. So medical conditions first. Anyone with diagnosed heart issues, cardiovascular problems, where strong emotions are a bad idea.
Definitely out.
Anyone suffering from vertigo, serious fear of heights, obvious ones maybe.
Mm.
Recent surgery recovery, also a no.
Correct. And chronic respiratory problems, especially needing oxygen therapy.
Like with strollers or tanks, yeah. Prohibited.
And then there are conditions affecting, say, balance or cognitive function. Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, senile dementia, epilepsy.
Muscular dystrophy, ALS, certain personality disorders. Basically anything debilitating psychophysically.
Exactly. It sounds like a lot, but it's about ensuring everyone up there can handle the stress and the physical demands.
Which raises that question, why so strict?
Well, it's purely about safety. On an aerial attraction that requires, as you said, psychophysical engagement, buying that ticket means you accept these terms.
And you accept the risks if you ignore them.
Precisely. The municipality of Solano explicitly states they're not liable if rules are broken. And no refunds if you're turned away for not meeting the criteria.
So read the fine print, basically.
Absolutely critical.
Okay, beyond medical physical limitations, pregnant.
Prohibited. And it's specifically because of the mandatory safety harness potential compression.
Ah, makes sense. Height requirement.
Yep, minimum 130 centimeters. Again, for proper harness fit.
And the harness itself has size limits too, right?
It does. Hip or lower waist circumference over 120 centimeters is a no-go.
Okay.
And upper thigh circumference over 66 centimeters. If you're outside those, the harness won't fit safely.
So no fudging the measurements. It's about safety, not exclusion.
Exactly.
And some other rules. No being intoxicated, obviously.
Right. Or under the influence of anything causing hyper-euphoria.
And no babies in carriers, no animals, even in backpacks.
Correct. Leave pets at home.
Minors need to be with a parent, not just any adult.
Yes, specifically a parent. No delegation allowed. And the parent has to be there at the crossing or check-in.
They might ask for ID, too.
They might, to verify age.
So what this all tells us is this isn't just turn up and walk.
Not at all. These rules define the readiness needed. It underlines that this is an immersive experience demanding personal preparedness, respect for the structure of the environment.
Okay, and that preparedness goes right down to your clothes and shoes.
Massively important. You're in a mountain environment, 700 meters up, narrow valley, prone to wind, sudden weather shifts.
Right, not the place to be caught in shorts and a t-shirt if the weather turns. Hypothermia is a real risk.
Absolutely. So, gear. Summer advice first.
Okay, backpack is essential. Plenty of water, visor cap, sunglasses, sunscreen.
Standard mountain summer kit.
And this is crucial. Your shirt must cover your stomach and hips and be tucked in.
Why is that specifically?
To prevent skin abrasion from the harness, it fits tightly.
Ah, good tip. Practical.
And they strongly recommend long pants over shorts, again, because of the harness leg straps.
Makes sense. Protects your skin.
If the weather looks iffy,
Still need the backpack. Hat, technical shirt, definitely a windproof or rainproof jacket like a KOA.
lightweight, packable.
Exactly. And long pants again. Mountain weather can change in minutes. Preparedness is key for getting back safely.
Okay, footwear. This sounds like a big one, non-negotiable.
Absolutely. Think about it, those gaps between steps. The uphill climb and then the walk back, likely on gravel.
Yeah, you need grip.
Totally. So they ban load the stuff. Flat-soled sneakers, beach sandals, flip-flops, espadrilles, clogs.
Basically anything flimsy or open.
Right. No heels, no wedges, nothing without laces or proper heel support.
So what can you wear?
Proper closed shoes, laces or buckles,
Yeah.
good heel support, and crucially, a non-slip rubber sole.
Right.
Like cleated sneakers or proper trekking shoes, Vibram soles are ideal, especially for the walk back down.
And if you turn up in the wrong shoes.
Access denied. No refund. Simple as that. It's a critical safety point.
Wow. Okay. It really hammers home that this is serious.
It does. It shows the level of respect required for this kind of activity in this environment. It's not just buying a ticket, it's committing to being prepared.
Right. An expedition, like you said.
A mini one, yeah.
Okay. So say you are prepared, you meet the criteria, got the right gear.
Yeah.
How does the actual experience work? Logistics time.
Okay, tickets first. Best bet is online purchase.
Especially peak season or holidays.
Definitely. Guarantees your spot. The online system shows the total capacity. If it says zero online, there are none left. Period.
So no hoping someone cancels last minute at the gate.
Nope. Doesn't work like that.
Paying online.
Credit cards, bankomat pay.
And if you risk buying on-site at the info point.
Only credit card or bankomat. No cash at all. They use a POS system.
Good to know. Bring the plastic.
Essential.
Now, here's a detail that sounds easy to miss. Getting the harness. It's not at the bridge start.
Correct. Very important. You collect and get fitted with the mandatory technical harness before you go to the bridge.
Where?
At a special facility right next to the tourist info point in Salado.
Okay.
From there, it's about a 150-meter walk through the old town to the actual bridge departure station.
And the harness rental cost.
Included in your ticket price. No extra charge there.
Phew. Okay. The crossing itself, how long does that take?
Depends on traffic, really. Low traffic, maybe 30, 45 minutes. High season, busy times. Could easily be an hour, maybe more. You're walking single file.
Right. No overtaking, no turning back.
Exactly. Once you're on, you're committed to reaching Montesanto on the other side.
And when you get there.
An operator collects your harness. Then you're free to wander around Montesanto Village for a bit.
Okay, the return journey. This sounds like another key planning point. Two main choices.
That's right. Shuttle or walk?
Let's do shuttle first. Sounds easier.
It is, but it's only available if you pre-booked the specific Bridge plus Shuttle combined ticket online.
Ah, okay. You can't add it on later or
Yeah.
buy it separately.
Nope. Limited seats, booked in advance online, or not at all.
And the schedule, is it tight?
It's designed to allow enough time. They figure about an hour for entry harness, 45 minutes crossing, 45 minutes in Montesanto.
And where's the shuttle stop in Montesanto? Right at the bridge exit.
No, it's about 580 meters away and involves a bit of an uphill walk, 44 meters elevation gain to reach it.
Okay, so even the shuttle isn't zero effort.
Not quite zero, no.
What about walking back? You said most people do that.
Yeah, about 85% choose to walk, and there are two main paths from Montesanto down towards Solano,
Option one.
the direct panoramic path. It's the quicker walk. Starts near the bridge arrival station. Descends through woods for about 1.1 kilometers, drops 220 meters, takes maybe 30, 45 minutes to reach Fiji Lake.
And from the lake?
Then it's another 2 kilometers, but this bit is uphill back to Solano Town and parking. Takes about 45 minutes.
So downhill, then uphill. Got it. Option two.
The San Giuseppe to Cascatel del Rote trekking path, longer, more adventurous.
How long?
About 4 kilometers just to get to Vigie Lake. Takes maybe 1.5 to 2 hours. Same 220-meter descent overall.
What's this path like?
It's more rugged. A white fire road. And it goes past the Cascatel del Rote waterfalls.
Which might be flowing or might not.
Exactly. Depends on the season, recent rain. Don't bank on a huge cascade necessarily.
And from the lake, it's the same walk back up to Solana.
Same 2 kilometers, 45-minute uphill walk, yeah.
So walking back involves a decent hike either way.
Definitely. It really is like planning that mini expedition. The bridge is the highlight, but the return is part of the adventure.
The Visit Solana website has a map for all this.
It does. An interactive one. Shows parking, info point, harness place, shuttle stops, paths, even where to eat or sleep. Very useful for planning.
Okay, crucial planning point.
Yeah.
Weather. What if it rains? You paid for your ticket.
Right. Here's the deal. If it's raining, but the bridge is still open. No refunds, no date changes.
So if you just decide you don't fancy it in the rain?
Your ticket is forfeited. Tough luck, essentially.
You sound strict.
It is, but again, it goes back to the nature of outdoor attractions. It's like booking an outdoor concert ticket. Weather is part of the gamble you take.
Fair point. What if the weather gets really bad? Strong winds, thunderstorms.
It might close the bridge temporarily for safety. Strong wind, lightning, snow, ice.
Can happen without warning?
Yep. Could be minutes, could be an hour, could be longer. Decisions are made right there, on the spot.
If it's just a temporary block.
If you have a booking, staff might let you into a later time slot if things clear up and they authorize it.
But if it stays closed for the day?
Decisions about what happens next are only made with people physically present at the site.
And refunds in that situation?
The policy states, in no case is a refund provided.
Wow. So you really are accepting the weather risk?
Completely.
Okay, shifting gears slightly. Responsible tourism. Image rights and drones. This sounds important too.
Very much so. Let's start with drones, or UAS air.
Right. Unmanned aerial systems.
Using them over Solana's municipal territory is strictly prohibited without prior written authorization from the municipality.
And they don't just give that out freely.
No.
Yeah.
Only for verifiable reasons.
Yeah.
Promotion, marketing, documentaries, safety monitoring, flora fauna research, local entities, law enforcement.
Not for your personal holiday video then.
Definitely not. And they point out ignorance of drone regulations isn't an excuse. Flying over crowds is totally forbidden. Mandatory insurance needed too.
Okay. What about just taking photos or videos with your phone or camera?
Personal snaps are generally fine.
Yeah.
But, and this is a big but.
Uh-oh.
The municipality of Solana retains exclusive rights to the commercial exploitation of any images or videos made there, meaning you cannot use your photos or videos for any commercial or business purpose. Anything that generates income, directly or indirectly, for you or someone else.
Like selling prints, using it in an ad, licensing it.
Exactly. Not without express written consent from the municipality.
That seems quite comprehensive. Why so strict on image rights?
Well, it reflects a growing trend, doesn't it? Destinations trying to manage their image and ensure the community benefits from tourism rather than just external commercial exploitation.
Protecting their assets, natural and cultural.
Precisely. And it really highlights how important it is to understand local rules when you travel, not just the big national ones.
Good point. Okay, so wrapping this all up, what's the big picture here?
Well, the Solano-Tibetan Bridge is clearly an incredible experience. Thrilling, unique.
A real testament to engineering in a stunning spot.
Absolutely. But it's not just a casual thrill ride.
No, it demands respect for the bridge, the environment, the rules.
Exactly. It really highlights that balance between seeking adrenaline and the absolute necessity of safety, preparation, following the rules.
It's about being informed.
Which leads to maybe a final thought to ponder. In this age where we can find information about almost anything,
mm-hmm.
How much effort do we really put into deeply understanding the experiences we chase, especially when they involve risk or specific local regulations like these?
The difference between just wanting the Instagram shot and actually engaging responsibly and respectfully with the adventure itself. Informed pursuit versus superficial desire.
Something to think about. A fascinating deep dive.
It really is a remarkable place with a lot to consider beyond just the walk itself.